Wow. Wow. Isn't that great? Thank you all. Thank you all so much. Y'all did a great job, okay? Great job. Let's pray for them as they are leaving. You know what? You know what you just heard today? You heard echoes of the future. You heard where we're going. You're hearing what God's doing. And let's just pray that we be the church that will bless them on their way into adulthood. Amen? Let's pray together. Lord, thank you today that you love us. And God, remind us today that you're a God of power. You're a God that is the Lord over our problems. You're a God that is stronger than what we face. And Lord, I pray for every one of those young children that there will be a real relationship with Jesus in their lives so that they too will learn to be overcomers in everything in their life. Amen. And they will grow in the ways of the Lord. Amen. You may be seated. Today, are you ready? How many of y'all are ready to worship today? You ready to hear something from Jesus? Well, I want to connect, man. Last service, God just really blessed. He's already blessed in the worship of this service. And I want you to get a handle on these things today. Go with me to Acts chapter 16. And we're going to deal with this characteristic today. And it's a rare characteristic. I don't see it much. How many of y'all have ever had a problem somewhere down the line? Since you've been born, you've had some sort of a problem. Anybody ever faced an injustice? I mean, you didn't do it, but they did it to you. Anybody ever faced an injustice? Three of you? Y'all might like have Teflon on you or something. Yeah, had an injustice done to you. But guess what? We're going to deal with Paul and Silas today. They're going to be messed over. And instead of complaining about the particulars of the problem, they're going to show us how to praise God in the midst of the problem. And I think if you and I, as followers of Jesus Christ, could really learn how to go toward praise before we go toward complaining, we would see a different life. How many of y'all spend more time complaining about where you are instead of praising God so you might end up where you could be? Whoa. Now, this is a big key today. Now, guess what? Today, as we preach and we teach, you're going to be distracted. I mean, your head's going to itch. All kinds of things are going to go on today. Because God doesn't want you to pick up on this information. God wants you to pick up on this information, but the devil does not want you to have this information. Because if you have this information and imply this information, embrace this information, guess what? You're not going to be hung up on your problems as much. And one of the joys of the devil is convincing you that your problems are greater than your God. Because if you get focused on your problems, what do you do? Wah, 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 wah. And what kind of life do you live? Wah, 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 life. And so you get your head down, you get all depressed, you mope, you don't accomplish anything, you don't experience the greatness of God, then eventually you feel disconnected from God and you wonder if He's even there. Where you look determines your destiny. Where you look determines your destiny. I promise you, if you look down, you'll fall down. True? If you keep staring at the floor, what's eventually going to happen? You're going to bump your head. Come on, guys. These are simple, common sense things that I hope you're aware of. Where you look. Paul was filled with the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. Silas, filled with the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm going to blow you away today. How many of y'all still believe there might be a real devil? Anybody believe it? Okay, wow. Good, about half and half. That's about what it is in the nation. Most people don't believe there's a source of darkness anymore. They've said that was for a primitive people, a people that believed in myth and superstition. However, I want to tell you, there is a real devil. And he believes in you, and he hates you, and he despises you, and he'd like to lock you up, and he'd like to put you in chains, and he'd like to hold you down, and he would like to imprison you in whatever your preference is to be imprisoned by. However, you don't have to stay locked up. Well, Paul and Silas encountered a girl. They were just walking through the town telling people about Jesus. How many of you all, when you live, somebody knows Jesus lives in you?
We need to get that guy. I mean, Jesus lives in you. How many of y'all got Jesus living in you? All right, cool. So what's your potential? Think with me. What's your potential since Jesus is living in you? It's unlimited. It really is unlimited. How many of y'all got unlimited potential? Yeah. Where are you going if you stay in Jesus? Come on, where do you end up? Where do you and I end up? Come on, balcony, where do we end up? Heaven. That's why y'all sit up here. Y'all want to be closer. You're going up, you want to get a little closer. You're probably 15 feet ahead of the rest of us, okay? You ready? And guess what? We end up where? With God in heaven. With God in heaven. That's our ultimate destination. But while we're here on earth, we ought to testify Jesus is Lord. Now, how many of you all, we got Thanksgiving season coming to us. It's coming up. How many of you all would testify and you would just bring a great word? I am thankful that I'm alive. I'm thankful that I'm here. I'm thankful that I'm living in a country that gives me the freedom to worship God. How many of y'all going to be a little thankful this week? Anybody going to be thankful this week? Or how many of y'all going to get caught up in the after day Thanksgiving sale and miss the holidays? Don't even go. They're going to sell it next week too. I guarantee it. The only reason we go through all this craziness is because we all show up. We're insane. Isn't it amazing? People will get up at 4 o'clock in the morning to go to Target the day after Thanksgiving, and you couldn't get them up to praise the Lord for loving the money. Because I'm going to tell you what, here's what I know. Your real God will get you up. Your real God will get you up in the morning. That's a good. How many of y'all got up this morning and said, wow, today is the day the Lord has made and I get to go to church and I get to praise God and I get to see some of my brothers and sisters in Christ and I'm glad to know I get to go be a part of the community of Christ today. Anybody get that? All right. About half and half again. That's all right. You know what I love about following Jesus Christ? There's no democracy in it. 51% can oppose following Jesus Christ. And Jesus still wins. There can be everybody in the world despising His name, and it takes one that'll be praising His name to change everything. It's the amazing power of God. Well, Paul and Silas walking through town talking about Jesus, and who shows up but a slave girl that can tell the future? Madam Slave Girl. Psychic 1-900 going on in the Bible. How many of y'all realize this psychic 1-900 business has been going on a long time? And did you know you can make money if you convince people that you know something in the future they don't know? But how many of y'all have ever heard these futurist kind of people? They're so, I mean, like I heard a guy one time tell this beautiful young girl, Aaron, probably a beautiful young girl like you, watch this. Here, I'm going to be a psychic. One day you're going to meet a guy that really likes you. Gee, that took a rocket scientist, didn't it? Now, if you're a real ugly girl and somebody tells you that, then that's a prophecy. Huh? Most people meet people, amen? Most people meet people. Most people connect. But this girl could tell the future, quote, quote. Now, here's what the devil does. The devil cannot see the future. How many of y'all realize this? I want you to get educated on the devil a little bit. The devil does not know the future. You say, how do you know that, Pastor? Well, you remember when the guy that had all those demons it came toward Jesus? They asked him, what are you doing here, Son of God? Why are you here right now? Is this the time? You see, if they knew the future, they'd know the time. They don't know the future. They're not like God. Is everybody listening? I got to get you out of this false teaching in. I know a lot of you think there's like God over here and He's real big. And then there's the devil over here and he does evil stuff and he's equally big to God. Not so. You have God and then you have this little speck that's called the satanic realm. You have the kingdom of God, and then you have this little gnat, and that's called the satanic realm. Now you got the dimensions. Amen? You need to know the dimensions to see what's going to happen. How many of y'all realize the devil does not have power over God? I mean, look at this. He does not have power. When Jesus showed up, the demons don't go like this. Let's kung fu fight, Lord. They don't look at Jesus and say, let's get it on. They say, what are you going to do to us? You see, here's what's so weird. The demonic knows more of the power of God than most of us. We got a slave girl that irritates Paul. She's walking around the city, and guess what she's doing? These men serve the Most High God, and they will lead you to your salvation. Acts 16, verse 17. These men are servants of the Most High God who are telling you the way to be saved. Is this not a trip? The devil is saying, this preacher is legit. There is a way to salvation. How many of you all find it funny that the devil knows you can be saved? Now, they just said so. He said, this is legit. If you do this, you'll be saved. Now watch, let me see where people get confused. A lot of people think this is salvation. I believe that Jesus exists. I believe that Jesus died on the cross. I believe that Jesus rose from the grave. Are you saved? Absolutely not, because who else believes those three things? Devil himself. I mean, if we used to get us a demon up here, there's probably one in here somewhere. If we coughed one up right here and said, Mr. Demon, is there a real Jesus? Well, yeah. Did Jesus die on the cross? Absolutely, I was there. Did Jesus raise from the grave? Yes, that's caused us a lot of problems. That move right there is what did us in. Mr. Demon, are you connected to the kingdom of heaven? Absolutely not, because I will not yield to the power of God. Now, salvation comes when you decide that your sin is worth being forgiven. How many of y'all got sin in your life? Just sin. You just sin. Just sorry old sin. And guess what? How many of y'all have said, Lord Jesus, I repent of that sin. I don't want to live that way anymore. I believe you to be the power to forgive me, and I ask you to come into my life and forgive me. Now, once God forgives you, is that salvation? Yes. Now, if you've been forgiven, let me ask you a question. Then how can you be bothered? You ever thought about that? If you've been forgiven for what you've done wrong, then how can you wallow in depression? Sheriff, if you take, we're going to talk about prison here in a minute. This right up your alley. This sermon today, right up your alley. Okay, now watch. If you take me to the jail, that's punishment. Now, if you get a big key out there and you open my cell and you let me out, that would be what? Forgiveness. Now, and if I get forgiven, I get out. Now, how many of you all operate differently outside the cell than you do inside the cell? Somebody talk to me. You see, inside the cell is pretty confining. 10 by 10, 4 by 4, whatever. I mean, you can still walk in there, just not very far. Follow me. You know, you can still do human things in there, just not very well. Now, you can't reach out and go further than your prison. But when God forgives you, now you become unlimited and you get to live outside the box. Isn't that neat? Now, Paul's living outside the box. This slave girl trailing behind him. Silas hanging on. You know, Paul did most of the talking. And finally, Paul, it says in the scripture, he gets troubled with this girl. He gets tired of hearing her. How many of y'all have ever just got tired of hearing somebody? Now, if you read the Apostle Paul very closely, he wasn't always in a good mood. Here's what I love about the Apostle Paul. He doesn't have this image of Christianity where every day he's just skipping around going, this is the day, this is the day that the Lord has. This slave girl ticks him off. And he gets tired of hearing her. Now, it doesn't say in Scripture, but I bet a couple times Paul said, now, you need to be quiet. Leave me alone. I don't want to hear from you. Get away. Eventually, she got Paul bothered, and he calls on the Lord, and he says, in the name of Jesus, come out of her. And he came out of her. Now, I want y'all to note in the scripture. Go to the big screen scripture here. In the name of Jesus Christ, I command you, come out of her. And at that moment, the Spirit what? Now, here's what I want you all to know as a church. I want you to see this as a church. Did Paul do a shenanigan dance to get rid of this demon? Now, please be aware of all the shenanigan preachers of our day. If you notice, he didn't spray the girl down with anointing oil. He didn't have 1,400 prayer napkins. He didn't dribble her head like it was on a basketball court, slaying her in the spirit 50 times.
Here's why. Paul called on the Lord and for the Lord's power to be recognized and not the shenanigan of the show. I've always wondered if Paul had a TV show, if he'd have done deliverance different. But you see, Paul wasn't in Hollywood business. He's in ministry. And when you're in ministry, you know God's power is superior. And you just look and say, in the name of Jesus, come out of her. And what happened? He came out of her. Her owners go irate. Why? They can't make any what? They can't make any money. She can't tell any fortunes anymore. They can't make any money. And so they get mad. I mean, they tore up. So guess what they're going to do Paul and Silas in? Now, how many of y'all have ever been falsely accused? Good, I have. Have anybody else here been falsely accused? How many have ever been racially accused? Anybody ever been racially accused? I have. I've been looked down on being white before. Does that blow some of you all away? Go to another country. Not everybody's white. Yeah. I think every white person ought to have to go to a country where they're a minority and then they'll understand. I've been hated for being an American. I've been in other countries and I've walked in and I said, I am an American from USA. Bang, they automatically hate me. They don't even know me. I'm a likable guy. But I'm an American, so they don't like me. I just want you to know this stuff's gone on for eons. Look at this. Everybody goes racial when they want to get somebody in trouble. Have y'all noticed this? This is no different. Look at here. When the owners of the slave girl realized that their hope of making money was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace to face the authorities. They brought them before the magistrates and said, these men are Jews. Would they just go? Pulled a racial card. I'm glad we don't do that in our culture today, aren't you? Seriously. We pull it all the time. You know why we pull it? Ain't nothing new under the sun. We think we're on. And Paul's in trouble because Al Sharpton ain't around yet. Ain't nobody going to step in for his dilemma but Jesus. Hello? Maybe we need, I got to preach today. Maybe we need to get back to this. Instead of waiting for some other somebody to step in, we ought to let Jesus step into our problem. I wonder what would happen then. I wonder what kind of world we would live in then. I wonder what kind of children we'd raise if we said, Jesus, step in where I can't step. And they trump up some charges. I mean, I don't know what the charges were for, you know, exorcism of fortune-telling spirits. Here's all they could think of. These guys have created an uproar. They're throwing our city into an uproar by advocating customs unlawful for us Romans to accept or practice. Now, did Paul and Silas do that? Come on, work with me today. Did they do that? No. Who was throwing the city in uproar? Huh? Since she doesn't have a name, let's just call her Madam Chi-Chi. Madam Chi-Chi's the one that started it all. She was walking around calling out the spirits, and then Paul called the spirit out. Huh? And then Paul and Silas get in trouble. Guess what they do to these boys? To these Jews. Messing with the town. I do want to pause here for just a second. They were accused of calling the city into a what? What was the word here in Scripture? May you do the same. What do y'all think about that? If this is just a suggestion, I think one of the problems with Christians is we're not an uproar. In fact, I think we've replaced the power of God for political correctness in the last 10 years. Most of us are more concerned about fitting in than we are expressing God. Would that be a fair statement? I mean, I do crazy things. Y'all need to realize some people hate your pastor. They hate me. I mean, their eyes turn green. They look at me and, man, I have to really pray because my nature is not to look at them and go, I love you with the love of Jesus. My nature is, bring it on. But guess what? If I react to the power of God, there'll be a greater uproar than I can cause. Who's causing the uproar in the city? Is it the Jews? Is it the demonic? Who is it? Jesus. And Jesus just got this knack. He comes to town and people get bothered. In fact, we need to get in an uproar. How many of y'all would love to be just such followers of Jesus that darkness just had a hard time doing business? That'd be cool. I mean, I think it'd just be cool. You know, everybody looks at these moral dilemmas. They're really, if we just follow Christ. Did you know you can't have abortions if you don't get pregnant out of wedlock? Is that not amazing? Good, we got about three people to agree with me. I know this is new information to our whole culture. Did you know if you don't have sex before you get married, you will not get pregnant? Watch this, I'm going to blow y'all away. Now, this is information they haven't released in society yet because Harvard does not have a grant yet of about $20 million to study to see if these things are true. But I have found them to be true, and I want to give you the updated information before the scholars get to this reality. If you, watch this, get married and stay with your marriage partner, you know, no slip sliding around, no, I need some entertainment on the side, am I communicating? Y'all look at me like you're not getting my metaphor. Well, maybe I just need to be real straight. When you marry, that's it. So before you get married, you look at it. Look deep down in its eyes and go, can I stay with that till I die? Now, if you can, get married. And if you got doubts, you go, okay. I'm going to wait it out a couple more weeks, see what develops. Now listen, there's no way to get married, though, and never have any doubt. Amen? I've never married a groom that sat there that was not perspiring. Every groom, and he looks in his bride-to-be, because see, right now she's a bride. See, that's not a bad deal. Brides are cool. It's wives that cause you a lot of problems. Amen? When I stood up here at the altar, I stand over here. Where did I stand? Yeah, I stood over. Yeah, right here. I stood over here this side, and I looked at Elizabeth. Man, she was a bride. She's good looking and cooking, buddy. I mean, I was like, wow! I was excited. It was 2 weeks later when she became a wife that things had changed. But they're going to be a wife, so you better what? Get ready. And what did that have to do with this? A lot. Stay in God's principles, and you will be an uproar in this society. Isn't that cool? Watch this. When I'm not speeding, I can wave at law officers and feel fine. Why? But I'm guilty. I don't know if any of y'all like this. I break that so much that even when I have my cruise control set on the speed limit and I'm going down the interstate, when I see one, I put the brakes on out of past sin. Any of y'all like that? I mean, I'll be on the interstate going 30 miles an hour, I see a law enforcement, boom, I gear down. Because I know I've sinned before, amen? But I want us to operate in the uproar. Power of God. Guys, I want to tell you, I hope our church moves into a zone where we want to follow Jesus in such a way that other people would absolutely be blessed. And to do that, we got to put the problem toward Jesus. Now, I want to show you, they throw Paul and Silas in jail. They beat them half to death. Look, it said they take them, they beat them. After they had been severely flogged, they were thrown into prison, and the jailer was commissioned and commanded to guard them carefully. Now, I don't know what's up with these boys, but this just amazes me. Wouldn't you love to live a life in Christ with such fervor that even after they beat you, they're still scared of you? I mean, after you beat a dude and you wore out, and believe me, I know what it feels like to be beat to death. I was beat to death Friday night on a football field. Beat to death. Flogged.
Beat to death. Couldn't do nothing about it. Just beat to death. And guess what? You didn't have to put me in no chains after that. I was already wrapped up. But Paul and Silas, they've been beat to death. Then the jailer's command is this. They put these boys in stockade, chain them up, and put them in the inner cell. They don't even get a room with a window. Put them in the inner chamber. Now, let me ask you a question. Has justice been served? Talk to me. Let's have a talking sermon today. Has justice been served? Has injustice happened? Now, here's what I want you to know. Quit looking toward the world to justify you. They will never do it. Some of you, wait this. You know how many times I've heard this? Well, my husband won't make me happy. Who told you he would? You see, some of you started out with a lie. Oh, how many of y'all did this one? Well, we're going to have children to bring our marriage closer together. There's some dude, I tell you what, I don't know what his name is, but I'm going to find him because he lied to this generation. What about this one? Go to school and graduate from college and you'll make a lot of money. That's not true. Sometimes you're just really educated. Sometimes you can be very book smart and not have a lick of sense anywhere else. See, people don't fill in the blanks for you. You know, it's kind of hard to job, if you can make a 105 on your ACT score, but you can't drive a car, it's hard to drive to go get the job, you know? Got to put it all together. Look at here. Be careful. Look at what Paul and Silas, they teach us something. After they've been thrown into prison, guess what they do? At verse 25, about midnight. People ask me, why about midnight? I don't know. I guess that's when they woke up. They've been beat half to death. You know, I can just see Paul and Silas there. Man, they beat the tar out of us. Yeah, yeah. Silas, how are you doing? Well, my elbow hurts a little bit. My shoulder's dislocated. Look like everything's all right. Paul, what do you want to do? He said, let's praise the Lord. Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. Now, I think we need to learn when we get in a problem, we ought to get to praying. How many of y'all pray when a problem comes your way? Or how many of y'all do this? You just analyze the particular of the problem. How many of y'all are worried more about the authorities than you are the authority? Who put Paul and Silas in prison? The authorities. Now here's what you got to remember. Authorities may put me in prison, but the authorities will never override the authority. And see, we follow Jesus Christ. And what I want you to know today, when you follow Jesus Christ, you're under the lordship of the authority of God. Does that make sense? I'm saying this so you can get it. Because we'll fear the authorities and forget to exercise the authority. Paul and Silas get to praying. They said, God, I don't know what they prayed. It doesn't say what they prayed. They just prayed. How many of y'all pray a little bit? Watch this. How many of y'all ever had your marriage in trouble, in chains? Pray! Quit complaining about him. He's a man. I even got men that come to my office like this and goes, my wife nags me all the time. Yes, next. Didn't y'all read the instructions? It comes with the package. Why does she do that? She's a woman. What'd your mom do? My dad never asked me one time if I had clean under drawers on. Y'all laughing because you know who did. Steve, who asked you? I never figured it out. My mom go, you got, yes, Mom. I said, why do you ask that? Well, in case you were in an accident. Like, if I'm in an accident, that's going to make a difference. Now, I always wonder what my mom knew. You know, go to the emergency room. I'll tell you what, this boy's really messed up, but he got some clean underdrawers. I mean, what? Who asked those kind of questions? I tell you what moms do too. I find that moms tend to pray more than dads. Dads tend to try to analyze the situation, but moms take it where? To God. And we need to take it to Jesus, man. Guys, listen. Paul and Silas took it to Jesus. They started praying, and they started praising, and they started singing hymns. Now, let me tell you why they sung hymns. In song, they were reminded of the power of God. See, this is a good hymn when you get locked up. It is well with my soul. It is well with my soul. It is well with my soul. Even though my hands are bound, my feet are bound, and I've been sealed in prison, even though they've chained me up, it is well with my soul, because here's the truth. This world cannot have my heart. Only God. Amen? Now, I'm going somewhere with this. When you start living in that kind of freedom, inside, it begins to leak on the outside. That's my theory here. When you start living in the freedom of God on the inside, it'll eventually get to the outside, because they start praising and giving God glory. And look, suddenly there was a violent earthquake that shook the foundations of the prison. And guess what? The doors flew open and everybody's chains came loose. Now, Sheriff, this happened down there at the regional, one kind of regional correction facility. I believe the jailer would panic a little bit, don't you? Now, I want you to notice something. When you're under the authority, you will submit to the authority. To me, this is, nobody runs out. Now, I've been in prison. Somebody opened the door, man, I'm going to road running out of that situation. You know what I mean? They all standing in the power of the authority. Because who opened the door? God did. And when God opens the door, He doesn't open the door so that you might be a captive on the run. He opens the door so you might be free. You see, if Paul and Silas had just left, they'd have been what? An escapee. But they're going to leave free, because the authority of God will always trump the authority of man. And look, this is so cool. The jailer, he's getting ready to kill himself. I would too. I mean, he's going to be. Well, the jailer woke up and he saw the prison doors open. He drew his sword and was about to kill himself because he thought the prisoners had escaped. But Paul shouted, "Don't harm yourself. We're all here." Now, what's the jailer doing? Y'all some messed up dudes. The doors opened and you didn't leave? No, sir, because we didn't open the door. And it's very interesting. The jailer called for lights. They got the lights on and he rushed in and fell trembling before Paul and Silas. Then he brought them out and asked, "Sirs, what must I do to be what?" Isn't it interesting? Now note the moves here. The jailer went into their prison to discover their salvation. Or to really put it accurate, the jailer walked into his prison to discover their salvation. Pretty wild, isn't it? Now watch this, I'm going to show you. And Paul and Silas didn't walk out of his jail till he said what? Come out. You notice how Paul and Silas still submitted themselves to the what? Authority. Because they knew the authority of God. Does it make sense? And what happened to the jailer? He said, "What must I do to be saved?" And what did Paul and Silas do? Led him to the Lord. And his whole household was saved. Now, I'm going to wrap up here. I hope y'all get this. How many of y'all have heard something today that you can take to the house? Anybody? Y'all going to lay low? Some of our guests are going, "I'm not sure I'm coming back. It's a little heavy for me." Well, I want y'all to get this spirit, guys. We live in Jesus. And I think far too long we've kind of cowered down, and we need to, if you will, become a little more of an uproar. How many of y'all know you need Jesus Christ in your life? Chained up, prisoned down, stockades man. Some of you today for the first time need to say, Lord Jesus, come into my life, forgive me of my sins. I don't want to be locked up and held down anymore. Come out. Amen? Some of you need to be baptized. Some go, why do you talk about baptism all the time? Because it leads to freedom. If you can step in that water and confess in that water, you'll walk in freedom a whole lot better. Amen? It's just a natural sign. Obedience leads to blessing. It does. It does. How many of y'all got some problems that you just keep looking at the particulars of the problem instead of taking them to God? Yeah, take it to God, man. Take it to God. Here's what I found. The longer I analyze my problem, the more it stays my problem. How many of y'all found that to be true? I've also discovered this. I can analyze where the problem came from, and it does nothing to change the problem. How many of y'all found that to be true? I can sit around and go, here is my problem. I can even say hello. Hello, my name is Steve. I have a problem. And guess what? You can say, hello, my name's Billy Bob, Sarah, Sam, Sue, and I have a problem too. I'm glad that. We all got a problem. Wonderful. I'm glad. That's a great first confession. I take nothing away from that. But there's something that's got to enter into that. Who's going to solve your problem? And here's what I'm telling you. Silas didn't solve Paul's problem. And Paul didn't solve Silas's problem. Their Lord Jesus Christ solved both of them's problem. Amen? And you and I got to get released from the problem of sin. Jesus is willing to set us free. Amen? How many of y'all this week need to be a little more of an uproar? How many of y'all going to have people come over at your house, or you going to go to their house? Family. How many of y'all going to be around family this week? How many of y'all got family that doesn't know Jesus? Why don't you be a little loving? How many of y'all all got an aunt that everybody claps when she leaves early? Huh? Come on, everybody's got one. It's the family. I mean, we may be this in Elizabeth's family. Are they coming? You know, how many of y'all got that family? Man, are they coming this year? And then people go like, it's okay. Which means we're going to endure it one more year. Why don't we get out of that and say, you know what? I'm going to love the folks that are in front of me. No matter what they're into or what's happened to them, I'm going to show them that Jesus is greater than my problem. And we start living like that, others will want to listen. Amen. Has anybody heard? Has this made any sense today? What do you think? I know y'all think I'm crazy. How many of y'all going to go, Pastor, do you do this? Sometimes. Here's what I'm going to tell you guys. I wish I did it more. And I'm going to work on doing it more with you. But I've found this. The more I analyze my problems, it doesn't change them. The more I begin to praise God and recognize who Jesus Christ is and apply Him in that moment of my life, honestly, things start changing. So I would recommend B, because A doesn't work. It's just a practical kind of thing. But and unless you all found that just staring at your problem gets it better. I find in our society, people stare and medicate. Problem makes them feel bad, they get some feel-good pills, and then they analyze the problem some more, and they feel worse than they did, and they have to up the doses. I'm just giving the truth. Instead of saying, God, is there a way out of this prison? And the Lord will say, yeah, let me open the door. Let me release the chains. Let me show you who I can be in you, and let me show you the life you can live. By the way, these men knew how salvation was, according to a slave girl who could tell the future. Yeah? So let God be embracing you. Cool deal? Let's stand together. Now, this is a time where you get to decide what you want to do with what you've heard and experienced all day. Now, don't panic. I'm going to have a prayer. All spirits of food leave our minds. Let's go to the soul for just a moment. The greatest Thanksgiving weekend you could have is to be able to thank God this weekend that you know you're saved.
Some of you need to come today and say, Lord Jesus, I need to be forgiven. Some of you need to come because you need to be baptized. Some of you today need to just come and thank God. How many of y'all just need to have a thank God moment? God, I'm alive. God, I've prospered. God, I've survived. God, whatever. Amen? Get with that. Like, I thank God that y'all are here. Didn't y'all have a good time today coming to church? If not, let me tell you something. I hope you had a good time. I had a blast preaching to you today. You know how it fires me up that I get to talk about a God that'll get you out of prison? That's a lot better than talking about a God that'll send you to prison. I'm talking about a God that wants you to live, and I hope you receive Him today. Maybe you need to pray. Maybe it's marriage. I mean, that came up in this service today. Maybe you just need to know you can be free. And most of all, I want you to know that God loves you. No matter what you've been into, that's freedom. Now, don't stay what you're into, because that's not freedom. Amen? So let's come today and just pray, all right? Lord, whoever needs to be saved today, you already know who it is, so I pray that you would encourage them to receive you. And Lord, I pray right now for just the altar, that we might come and give thanks and we might recognize your Holy Spirit. We might have prayers for healing and just prayers that we would love each other like you've called us to love each other. Most of all, God, I pray that we learn what freedom is and we live in it. In the name of Jesus. You ready? Altar's open. It's not going to be long today, but it's going to be powerful today. How many of y'all need to come and live in freedom? Quit holding on to stuff that's not letting you move. Anger, guilt, jealousy, grief, envy, strife, these are all sicknesses. Be healed of them. Most of all, receive Jesus today. God bless you.